Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Michael, and
Hanani,
Oshanea,
Megan.
Our topic for today is sexual assault and substance abuse. Sexual assault is perpetrated on a daily basis in every community. It can happen in a home by someone known, on a date, or in an isolated place by a stranger. Sexual assault can be verbal, visual, or physical. Anything that forces a person to join in unwanted sexual contact or attention. It can involve activity that one party does not agree to, and can include inappropriate touching, penetration, intercourse, rape, or molestation.
Two-thirds of all sexual assaults are committed by an acquaintance of the victim, and two-thirds are never reported to the police. Almost half of the assaults are to people under 18 years old, and 80% are under 30. Among college students, three-quarters of the perpetrators have been drinking prior to the assault. Over half of the victims have as well. Tragic events in Willits in November have stimulated today's topic. A very talented and popular 25-year-old woman was discovered dead, the apparent victim of a rape and murder. For legal reasons pending an upcoming murder trial, we will not go into the details of the recent horrible event. But we will discuss the problem of sexual assault and what local communities and organizations are doing to reduce the number of incidents.
Project Sanctuary has been serving Mendocino County for decades, offering counseling, shelter, and educational services out of Ukiah and Fort Bragg. They are a rape crisis center and provide protection for victims of domestic violence. They may be reached in Ukiah at 462-9196 and on the coast at 961-1507. Laytonville Healthy Start Resource Center works with the community and schools on alcohol and drug prevention and serves as a resource for parents and youth. They provide education at the schools through health fairs, where they invite Project Sanctuary and other organizations to deliver information to our youth. They also support Youth Speaks Out. Their phone number is 984-8089. Mendocino County Youth Project offers social services, counseling, education, and crisis prevention services countywide. They are to be reached at 463-4915. Dragonfly is a new organization and was created last month in Willits. It is dedicated to ending sexual assault and substance abuse in the community. They held their first event last week in Willits to raise funds for outreach and education. More events are in the works.
We know that there are other resources in our county and hope that representatives will join the discussion in the later part of the show when we have call-ins. Sexual assault on college campuses has been in the news a lot recently. Many statistics have been given press, including that 1 in 5 women will experience sexual violence. Many colleges and universities have instituted studies and are creating educational and outreach programs to reduce the frequencies of these attacks. But a large number of educational institutions are being investigated by the federal government for mishandling assault and harassment charges. There is a disputed statistic saying that a higher percentage of college women are sexually assaulted than non-college women of the same age. Regardless, both sides of the argument agree that around 20% of women 18 to 24 will be assaulted, a terribly large number.
Earlier we mentioned the statistic suggesting that 3/4 of the perpetrators have been drinking alcohol, as have more than half of the victims. Add to that other substances widely used and abused and less frequently reported, such as ecstasy, cocaine, OxyContin, meth, and marijuana, and there seems to be a correlation between substances and sexual assault. Clearly not everyone using substances commits or sustains assault, but victims are more vulnerable when high, and assailants are more likely to lose control when under the influence. Helping people avoid or limit their consumption of alcohol and other drugs could seriously reduce the rate of sex crimes. We will also present ideas for recognizing dangerous situations, how to minimize risk, and how friends can intervene. Our goal in producing the show is to seriously reduce the number of sex crimes in our community. Part of the problem is that so many things are hushed up in a small community. It has been pointed out that we live in a culture of secrecy, stimulated locally by the need to maintain confidentiality around marijuana production, which is currently illegal. We hope that you are interested in hearing about sexual assault and substance abuse and will want to participate. We're at the Willett Studio, and our phone number will be 456-9991. We will encourage everyone to join in the discussion in about 30 or 40 minutes. Let's begin by talking about Dragonfly. What is Dragonfly, and what are the goals and objectives?
Well, Dragonfly is a new organization inviting people who want to be a part of raising awareness to ending sexual abuse and substance assault. Substance abuse. Our goal is to raise awareness, funds, and support so that we may continue to spread our message that together we are taking a stand against sexual abuse and substance abuse in our community.
Yeah, so I understand that Dragonfly is a pretty new organization, and that you guys are kind of still putting together your model for what you want to do, and that the two of you are just here as friends of Kayla's and as members of the Dragonfly Foundation, and you're still kind of gathering your identity, but maybe you can talk about some of the things that you hope to do in the future, whether it's spreading awareness through events or local outreach, or what your vision might be.
Well, also just considering the last event we had, or the first event we had on December 27th, Wake Up for Kayla, it was a sober event, also a dance. So I think that that was something that I would like to continue doing in the next couple months, have another sober dance party for the youth, adults, and children to come and enjoy their time and see that we can have fun without alcohol.
We just want to raise as much awareness as possible in our community by letting people know that the more educated you are, the more likely you are to be able to prevent these types of events from happening. Our goals are to speak out in schools and give examples of what sexual assault really is, and that even what may seem like something insignificant really is a crime, and to educate people on where they can go to reach out and what steps to take if they know somebody that is being assaulted or if they're being assaulted themselves.
Do you have any contact information for people interested in being involved?
Yes. If you want more information, you can contact our Gmail account at wakeup.dragonfly@gmail.com.
Yeah, so we're here today to talk really broadly about sexual assault in our community and in communities around the world. And I guess the first question to open it up with is sexual assault a problem in our community? And does it often go unreported? And why does it go unreported?
Sexual assault is definitely a problem in this community as well as in every community. I think that a lot of the time it goes underreported because I think a lot of people don't know when they are being abused really is a crime. I think that people might find these things inappropriate, but they don't really understand that this is a crime. And I feel that the more people understand what sexual assault is, from inappropriate looks, inappropriate words, inappropriate touching, that they will learn to understand what a serious crime every aspect of abuse is.
I'm sure a lot of people are scared, feeling like they'll be judged or looked at in a bad way, but we want people to know that there's help and resources out there to make you feel the best you can feel, because that's what you deserve.
And some of the help that we're talking about can be found at the National Sexual Assault Hotline, which is 1-800-656-HOPE, or more locally, you can call 1-800-273-TALK to get more information and feel safe about discussing personal experiences or experiences that you may be witnessing. Also, just talking to anyone is a huge step in prevention. If you have awareness and you're bringing it to somebody else, just talk to anyone, your friend, your mom, your counselor, a teacher, anyone close. Just don't keep it in. Just keep raising awareness.
Yeah, I think we should probably raise this information a few times in the course of the broadcast, but I'll just read off right now for anyone who's curious what to do if you are sexually assaulted, just so that this resource is out there. If you are sexually assaulted, the first thing to do is find a safe location away from the perpetrator. Ask a trusted friend to be with you for moral support. Know that what happened was not your fault. We really want to stress this over and over again. We're going to talk a few times today about ways that you may be able to prevent sexual assault, but there is no surefire way to prevent sexual assault. There are ways that you can minimize your risk, but if you are assaulted, it's never your fault, no matter what you did. So remember that you need to preserve all evidence of the attack. This is a little bit counterintuitive because you may want to run straight into the shower, but it's to your advantage if you do not bathe, wash your hands, brush your teeth, eat or smoke, because that's going to preserve evidence that can be measured and brought forth in a trial. So if you're still at the location in which the crime occurred, do not clean up or straighten up or remove anything, even from the room. Write down all the details that you can recall about the attack and the perpetrator. Report the attack to law enforcement immediately. Local authorities can be reached by calling 911 in most areas of the U.S. If you want more information, you can contact the National Sexual Assault Hotlines at 800-656-HOPE. That's 1-800-656-HOPE. Once you've reported the crime, seek medical care as soon as possible. And then recognize that healing from an attack takes time. Give yourself the time you need and know that it is never too late to get help. I think we have some local resources for sexual assault, too. If you guys want to read some of those off, we can go back and read off the number for Healthy Start and the Mendocino County Youth Project in the intro here.
We have Project Sanctuary. And you can reach them in Ukiah at 462-9196 and on the coast at 961-1507. Laytonville Healthy Start Resource Center also works with the community and schools on alcohol and drug prevention and serves as a resource for parents and youth. Their phone number is 984-8089. And the Mendocino County Youth Project offers social services, counseling, education, and crisis prevention countywide. They may be reached at 463-4915. And again, Dragonfly's organization email is wakeup.dragonfly@gmail.com.
And the crisis line number is 1-800-273-TALK.
So we talked earlier a little bit about preventing sexual assault. Can we just go over several different ways people can work toward reducing their risk for sexual assault?
One way, you can always look out and protect your friends. You have a crucial role to play in keeping your friends safe, no matter what the setting. If you see something that doesn't feel quite right or see someone who might be in trouble, there are some simple things you can do to help out a friend. Some of them are distract, step in, enlist others, and keep an eye out.
I think going back to what you were saying, someone was telling us earlier on how when you have friends going to a party, you can come up with codes for both your friends and your family. So if you call them or you tell them something, it doesn't let others know what is going on, but at least they know that you need help and they can come do something for you.
Yeah, you definitely want to be an ally when you can. Make sure when you go to a party that you don't go alone. You go with a group of friends that you can trust. You arrive together, check in with each other, and leave together. Having a buddy system is really important. If one wants to leave, just go with your friend. Don't decide to stay. Stay true to the buddy system. And if you see somebody else who's intoxicated, offer to call them a cab or find somebody that they know to help them.
Also, you can trust your instincts. If you feel unsafe in any situation, just go with your gut feeling and leave the place if you can. Also, if you're at a party, for instance, or somewhere with a drink, do not leave your drink unattended. When you leave to go talk or dance or use the restroom or make a phone call, you can take your drink with you. Don't leave it unattended. Also, do not accept drinks from people you do not know or trust. And like we've been saying, watch out for your friends and vice versa. Make sure that your friends are doing okay and make sure you have someone you trust that can be looking after you from time to time.
Yeah, also knowing your limits when it comes to using alcohol, being assertive and not letting anyone violate your space. Watch out for your keys and your wallet, your identification. Just be in a clear space and account for all of your belongings. Don't go to isolated spots alone. Avoid walking or jogging alone, especially at night. And have your key ready to use before you get to your car or your home or at work. You can park in well-lit areas so that you are seen at all times. Drive on well-traveled streets with your doors and windows locked, and never hitchhike or pick up a hitchhiker.
So maybe while we're listing off all this information on how to prevent sexual assault, maybe we can kind of talk about what kinds of environments are conducive to sexual assault, or what kinds of environments and behaviors you may want to avoid, or be careful while engaging in.
I think for that is like have a super conscious awareness of yourself, your surroundings, the people that you're with. The fact of the matter is predators are out there and they will attack if they want. So it's up to us to feel as protected in our own bodies and our own selves as we can and kind of go from there. But we have to be the core of our protection. So
I think another part of being aware of surroundings is when walking at night or at any time, really, try not to have headphones in both ears while listening to music, just to make sure you can hear what is going on around you and see, too.
Are there... I guess I have a question for you guys. Are there images or expectations that men and women have of each other socially that contribute to a culture of sexual assault? And are there ways that we can work to change those images in our community to alter the potential for sexual assault and change the way we treat each other?
I would hope that there's potential for that change, but I feel like in this world of fast-paced, insane media that we live in, it's kind of created this picture for us as young women and children to, or young people and children, to think that we're meant to be a certain way because that's what it's like on TV or in the music video. But it shouldn't be about what a woman is wearing or what a man is wearing. or how we look at someone. I think we're all kind of struggling in this world together, and we should be out to help and protect each other. So in a small community, hopefully we could make a change by, you know, using the buddy system, even if they're not your best friend, or reaching out to people, even if you haven't known them forever, but just to let people know that we're here together to raise this awareness and bring this movement to light.
Yeah, certainly in a small community, we have a little bit more control over the ways that we take in media and the ways that we respond to each other. And so if we're going to be able to create a caring and responsive culture anywhere, it's going to happen in these sorts of small places. So I think we're privileged in that way.
Definitely.
We shouldn't forget it.
I think another misconception people have, going back to the question, is that boys are not sexually abused. Most of the time, there's more focus on women and girls being sexually abused, and often we forget that boys are also sexually abused. And from 1in6.org, they had a statistic saying that 1in6 boys is sexually abused before the age of 18. But so often when we're talking about sexual abuse, it's usually geared toward women. So I think that's one of the misconceptions that we often have.
I definitely agree. I think there's a lot of unreported male sexual harassment that happens, especially under the age of 18. Everyone is quite vulnerable.
So the issue of age brings up another question. At what age do we feel that parents should be educating their children about sexual abuse? At what age is it appropriate to start talking to your kids about these things? Just for your personal opinion, it doesn't have to be gospel.
I don't think it's ever too early to educate our children on what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, whether it is assault or abuse. If something's not okay, I think that your child needs to know what is okay and what isn't okay from a very young age. And sexual assault, I think they need to know what it is, you know, what inappropriate touching, attempted rape, molestation. I think they need to know what those things are so that it increases the chance of it being prevented and them being able to point out signs or situations that make them feel uncomfortable.
This may sound funny, but I feel like there's 11-year-olds that have iPhones, and if you're old enough to have an iPhone and research anything on the internet, you should have been educated by your parents or family member on this type of stuff, sexual assault, substance abuse, because they'll just go out and research it or find things that they think are right. In reality, they may not be. So.
Yeah, Oceana, like you mentioned earlier, that, you know, we live in a culture of pervasive media where you definitely do have 11-year-olds with iPhones who are able to search for whatever they want online, and they may not have those filters activated. And so it's really important in this age to educate your kids, not just about really acute issues like sexual assault, but really broad issues like media literacy, so the children learn how to take in the information that they have access to and realize that they don't need to behave like the advertisements or like what they're seeing on Facebook isn't necessarily the best model for their own behavior.
Definitely.
My parents started talking to me and educating me about sexual abuse about the time that I was beginning even kindergarten. They didn't present it like this sexual abuse. They just wanted to say, hey, you are going to be around a lot more people than you're used to, and if something doesn't feel right or you feel uncomfortable or something doesn't make you happy, just know that you can talk to me about it when you get home today. And that was really helpful when being introduced to a lot of new people, just knowing that I could go home if something made me uncomfortable and talk to my parents about it.
That's really nice to hear that your parents talked to you about it at such a young age and that it made you feel safer. I think that that's a really important experience to share with people.
Yeah, and not at kindergarten age, but a few years later, we did go over just having a safe word, and if somebody ever told me that I needed to get in a car with them because something had happened, to ask them for a safe word that would let me gain their trust and know that I need to believe them that something really did happen to my parents and that I can trust to be with them. And I feel like establishing words or codes and even just an understanding with your parents and children, a method for how to go about these types of things is really important.
Yeah, so I guess I might as well put a little more information out there. This is a little information on what to do if someone is pressuring you. If you do find yourself in an uncomfortable or scary situation where somebody is pressuring you into sexual contact that you are not comfortable with, you need to remember first, again, that the situation is not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong, and it's the person who is making you uncomfortable that is to blame. Be true to yourself. Don't feel obligated to do anything that you don't want to do. I don't want to is always a good enough reason. Do what feels right to you and what you are comfortable with. Have a code word with your friends or family. So this is kind of like what you were talking about, Megan. If you don't feel comfortable, you can call on them and communicate your discomfort without the person you were with knowing. And if you have to, feel free to lie to the person. If you don't want to hurt this person's feelings, it's better to lie and make up a reason to leave than to stay and be uncomfortable, scared, or worse. Try to think of an escape route. How would you try to get out of the room? Where are the doors, windows? Are there people around who might try to help you? Is there an emergency phone nearby? Remember, if you and or the other person has been drinking, you can say that you would rather wait until you both have your judgment before doing anything you may regret later.
I think, like you were talking about, non-alcohol related activities that youth can engage in earlier as part of what Dragonfly is trying to advocate. I was wondering if we could talk about some of those activities that they don't necessarily have to be done with everyone in the community, but things that youth can be spending time doing instead of using drugs or alcohol.
I mean, it would be great if we could have art projects for kids to engage their minds in a higher way than using substance and alcohol. It's hard because, like I said earlier, the media affects us, or the children and young adults, so much that they really are going to have to want to make this change. And that's something that I don't necessarily feel like so much they are getting the push to do, because older people in their life may just be doing the same thing, using and, you know, not doing the most conscious awareness things that they could be doing. But for Dragonfly, we hope to create more sober events for children and adults. I would really like to be a part of the Willits High School peer counseling program, and also just be a support for the people that need and want us, and for them to know that there's resources out there. But like I said earlier, it's a want. They have to want it, whether or not they need it.
I lost.
Oh, I'm back. I don't know.
Yeah, also, as Dragonfly, money that we raise, we want to throw sober parties. We want to have bands and live music and invite people of all ages to join in sober events and create safe relationships and spaces. We want to, you know, encourage taking walks, being active in the community, and reading, writing, expressing ourselves in positive ways.
Dancing.
Yeah, and that's a challenge that I would put out there to all of our community members. I grew up in Laytonville, and when I was growing up there, there was, in many ways, a lack of resources for kids to get involved with activities that didn't involve alcohol and drugs. And since I've come back from college, I've noticed a lot has changed in the area, and there are a lot of resources available through Healthy Start and through the school district and through local athletic clubs that weren't there before. And I see kids gathering in places where they weren't gathering before. And those are kids with something to do, and it's something to do that's intellectually and emotionally stimulating. And I think that that's really important for children.
Just to add to what you were saying, I think if we can all challenge ourselves to learn something new all the time, we can just, you know, pick up sewing, skating, dancing, playing an instrument, and it takes time to learn something. So if we can all just try to learn something new, I think that could help also.
Yeah, and those sorts of things don't happen in a vacuum. They require mentorship. So I would put that challenge to all the adults in the community to respond to young people you see who seem needy and offer them your skills and experience and try to encourage in them good constructive behaviors and activities that they're interested in.
And I would say that this goes not only for the youth but for the young adults and the adults of our community to be the change we wish to see. So another question we have, or topic, is does substance abuse, especially alcohol... Oh, we just said that one. We're just going to get right to a point here, and I'm going to ask my friend Megan, how has Kayla's death affected your life?
It has really affected my attitude towards how I look at every day, and it has made me a lot more grateful for every moment of my life. And looking back at 2014, I see a lot of days that something small threw off my day or made me upset, and I was angry about it for a lot longer than I should have. And when something like this happens and a life is taken so prematurely, it really makes me just look at how unimportant little things like that are and how important it is to be so true to yourself and to just love and live every single moment, to stand up for what you believe in, to do things that you want to do, to say no to things you don't want to do, to be in a clear mindset most of the time, and safe when choosing to participate in drinking. And you know, I have siblings, and I wish that I could always be with them and I could always be the buddy that they need when they're drinking and when they're doing things that I might find reckless, but the fact is and the reality is that I can't always be there for them and I can't always be their buddy, so that I just need to always be my buddy and have my own back and love and respect myself to know that what I'm doing and every day and how I'm choosing to do the things I'm doing every day are for a positive purpose, and just wanting to grow in all ways and to be optimistic at all times, even in this tragedy.
Thank you for that. I would just like to say that Kayla was an amazing, beautiful light in my life, and part of wanting to create Dragonfly is to continue shedding that light onto others that are open to it and need it. Real quickly, I have a poem that Kayla's boyfriend Nicholas wrote. They were together for 3 years. They were talking about kids and marriage and the next step. So this is something he wrote for us to read today. As an angel falls, her spirit remains. All we have left is change, focused on equality, driven by love. Kayla knew the world would change with a hug, would change with a smile. Each word we speak, like tiles they meet, creating groundwork for humanity's feet. Today we have a promise to keep. I promise to honor my love, to honor the spirit remains, every day, in every way. I have the power to create change. I know she still feels the same. I love you, Kayla Grace. I honor you by everything I do. Your soulmate, Nicholas.
We're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Again, 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call. And we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, teachers, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights on sexual assault and substance abuse. Do you think that sexual assault is underreported in our community, in our country, and why is it underreported?
Do you believe that substance abuse contributes to sexual crimes? What would you propose to reduce the incidence of sexual assault in our community? At what age should preventative education begin?
How has Kayla's death affected your life? What can women do to prevent being assaulted? If someone is a victim of sexual assault, where can they go to receive help in our community?
Please call in and be a part of this conversation. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Let me do that again. 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll get a very confusing echo. Once again, the number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We'd really love to hear from you.
Looks like we've got a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Gwen calling, and I just wanted to call to say thank you to Oceania and to everyone there. The event that was held for Kayla, Wake Up for Kayla, at the Grange in Willis was a fantastic event. The music was amazing, and everyone had a wonderful time, not drinking, not doing any drugs. I think that we've all kind of come to a point where we've had it with all of this. It seems like everything that happens bad, that there's drugs or alcohol involved, and that's just kind of what it's come to. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm here for you if you need anything else, and I'm more than happy to help with any of the other benefits that you'll be having in the future.
Thank you so much, Gwen. We love you.
I love you too, honey. Love and light.
Love and light.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Maybe you guys want to throw that email address out there again while we're getting some support for Dragonfly. Maybe we can put the information out there and let everybody know that there's a way to contact Dragonfly if you have any ideas or if you want to offer support.
Yeah, you guys can contact us at wakeup.dragonfly@gmail.com. That's WAKEUP dot DRAGONFLY at gmail.com.
Okay, it looks like we got another caller. Let's take it. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. It's a beautiful show, and the poem from Nicholas really sharply reminded me that there are good men out there in the world who understand that the world of sexual predators that's so hyped up in the media isn't all men. But I would like to suggest that Dragonfly put a huge emphasis on re-educating men so that their attitude of, well, you know, this angry woman, all she needs to do is get laid. And that kind of attitude just pervades all kinds of sectors of the population. And I would like to urge you to work up a curriculum, you know, give another dance where re-educating men is the priority. I think that it would help a lot because we always focus on a woman protecting herself. Well, let's make the men not predators. Okay? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
And we've already got another caller. Let's bring him on. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I just happened to catch this radio show. And I wanted to say, you know, while drugs and alcohol could be a very big part of assault, there's also something else that's going on, and it's going on all over the world, and it's an attitude towards women. And I was sort of not realizing how pervasive it really is. I mean, you know, if you look at what goes on in India and places like that, Pakistan, and how women, you know, can have acid thrown in their faces if they reject a suitor, that's one end of the spectrum. But here in the United States, if you look on certain programs, like you can find out that there are assaults against women who are doing nothing more than just sort of jogging near their parents' home, and they disappear, and then their body is found, and they've been sexually assaulted, and it's just really amazing amount of cases that you really never hear of unless you know what's going on all around the whole country. And it's an attitude towards women, of women just being for the taking, that's hatred of women, abuse of women is sort of an underlying current that a certain element of the community will reflect. I'm not saying everybody, but, you know, the criminal element especially, and the serial people who are serial killers and such like that. It's just amazing that this happens so much all around the United States as well. So I don't think that it's always alcohol and drug-induced. I think there are attitudes and, you know, as well as crazy people. So I don't know if you want to say anything about that.
I would definitely have to agree with you on part of that. And I think that re-educating the young men and the men of our society would be a huge step. It's just a big one to tackle, so I definitely appreciate your opinion on that, and I can agree.
All right, well, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, there was some discourse on that issue not too long ago. There were in the Twitter sphere, there was this issue of that little hashtag battle that was going on back and forth, not all men, hashtag not all men, not all men are sexual predators, and then the response hashtag yes all women. And the response had to do with the real fact that all women are victims of systemic sexism, whether they are victims of an incident of sexual assault or not. It's a culture that we need to address. We got another caller. Let's take it. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Tricia, and I just wanted to let you know that we do have a CERT program at Frank Howard There are a couple of us nurses that have been educated and certified in doing sexual assault response teams, so that if somebody is assaulted and they would like to press charges or take back their life, that we are available for them.
Trisha, that's Trisha, yeah?
What's that?
So, Trisha, that's great. Maybe you can send an email to the girls here at Dragonfly and offer them that resource. I think what you're saying is that there's a response team that can be called to test for evidence of sexual assault?
Correct.
Okay.
So we are available for them right here in Willits, male or female.
Did you get the address for Dragonfly?
I did. So okay. It's just Dragonfly.
It's wakeup.dragonfly@gmail.com, but I will love to come down to the Howard Hospital and pick up a packet or any information that you guys have for us. So
certainly.
Thank you for that.
Amy and I are both available at any time.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, caller, you're on the air. We got another one.
Yeah. Hello?
Yep.
Hello?
Hey, we're going to ask you to turn your radio down a little bit. We're getting some feedback.
Michael, how would you turn this down a bit? Hold on, please.
Nana, turn the radio down.
Hold on, we want to get in on this.
You're in on it.
We are in on it?
Yeah, we can hear you. Just turn the radio down.
Oh, is that Oshie?
Yeah, hi, Nana.
Hi, Dawn. How do you know it's me?
I can tell your voice from a million miles away.
You're wonderful. Yeah, hold. Grandpa wants to say hi.
Yeah, hey, Oshie.
Hi, Grandfather.
I wanted to say that human nature has always been and always will be a matter of men seeking women for reproductive advantage. It'll always be and always will be. Now, there are certain laws and rules and regulations according to our culture that makes it easier to do this in a legal manner. But we must always remember that nature, human nature, is doing this for thousands and thousands and thousands of years.
Thank you for that, Grandpa, but we're trying to reprogram a little bit of how the men in our culture think.
But we have to do a lot, not only in the sexual area, but also in the selfishness area, you know, where people are gathering all kinds of monies ahead of everybody else and leaving everybody else behind. This is human nature, and it has to be recognized as such. Don't let anybody be denied the fact that it's our human nature. It's not our
society. It sounds a little bit more like animal nature, if you ask me.
Yes, it is. That's what it is. It's exactly animal. We are descendants of animals.
Well, hopefully we can create a new empowered awareness.
Of course we can, but never lose sight of the fact that that's what our problem is. It's human nature. It's not society. It's human nature that needs to be addressed. And that's difficult to do. Okay, dear.
Okay.
I love you.
Love you. Thank you for the call.
Okay, dear.
That's sweet.
They're in Garden City, New York, Long Island.
I'm going to call them from a long way away. Are they streaming online?
They must be. I don't know. I really had no idea that they were listening.
Well, if you are like Oceania's parents, you can, grandparents, you can stream online at kzyx.org.
Or give us a call right now, 456-9991, and let us know how you're feeling.
Huh. Yeah, so your grandfather does raise an interesting question. I mean, there's this issue of nature and nurture the issue of rape comes from a biological impulse, but I think that there are also societal mores that are in place that encourage a culture of rape. And maybe you guys want to take a little time to suss that out.
Oh, I think we have a caller.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is David Key. Hi, Oceania.
Hi, David Key.
Thank you so much for the show.
I am calling with just a little tidbit. I was lucky enough to know Kayla, not well, but enough to feel her beauty and the repercussions of any rape or murder, you know, it's felt, whether it's your friend or not, I feel the connection just as a woman, as a human. And in hearing of her rape and death, I was talking to a really good friend of mine, and she just told me this story that I feel could touch upon ways that us as we as adults or as parents can help our children, and that is, you know, this friend of mine, she was raised in a very strict and straight family and didn't have much lenience, but her parents told her anytime she goes out, if she finds herself, whether it's, you know, in an uncomfortable sexual situation or, you know, her sober driver is drunk or, you know, just finds herself somewhere that she doesn't plan to be, that she can call them any time of the night and there will be zero repercussions. They will come get her. And she did that the first time. She thought really that wasn't going to be the case, but first thing in the morning, nothing was said, and she didn't have, you know, she wasn't grounded, nothing. And I just felt like that is such an important thing for all parents to maybe take a look at and commit to, and it's something that could change everything. And ultimately, as parents, you know, I am a parent of a beautiful 10-year-old daughter, and it scares me to my core the possibilities that could be in store for her. And so I'm just hoping maybe we as parents or friends or whoever to our youth that we can offer that and mean it and do that. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And again, thank you so much for your show. And yes, praise to your work.
Thank you, Deva.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air?
Nope. No caller.
Just kidding. Calling anyone. Anyone out there. It's interesting about what my grandfather said. I'm trying to find the okayness, or that's not the correct word, but like, I just can't understand it. I just don't understand it. I mean, I know that we're meant to reproduce, but that's not enough of an excuse for me.
Okay, we got another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I am actually glad that the granddad called in, because I think that's a really underlying point to this kind of the part of the iceberg that's under the water here, you know, with sexual abuse and violence, and that the sense of biology drives a kind of a concept in society, and that society can be shaped, I hope, to lend towards evolution, towards, you know, living together as how many billion people we are on the planet now, with a different kind of concept of what it means to respect and, you know, see each other as human beings. And one thing I wanted to add that relates to that in my mind is that sexism is pretty institutionalized in the U.S., and that's been referred to already by other callers. No one's mentioned the problem in the military, or when they did finally do an anonymous assessment of rape in the military. In 1 year, there were 26,000 rapes that were reported anonymously, but only 3,500 were actually reported because things would not be done about them. And most of the people who reported the rapes, men and women, eventually were involuntarily discharged, pushed out of the service. So it's in our institutions. And a practical thing I'd like to just mention is, you know, the kind of things that happened in challenge days, in peer counseling group, if young men and young women could get together, who are willing to sit together and talk about, perhaps there are circumstances that begin to feel a little manipulative, behaviors that are that people aren't aware of that they're doing. They may just have habits that are acquired from the culture. So if that could be talked about together in an ongoing way, it might be helpful, you know, to help wake people up a little bit more. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we got another one. Caller, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I appreciate your grandfather's call. I think that you might consider another program specifically for the men to give their side of the story and maybe have some doctors and maybe a psychiatrist available that would join you. Because it's a very good point, and a lot of people who are older figured that out after it's too late. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, so the caller, about two callers ago, there was an issue raised of these sort of unconscious behaviors that we might have that lead to a culture of sexual abuse. You guys have any ideas about what those behaviors might be or how to be a little more attentive to those? I think that was a really good suggestion. Ways that we interact with each other, ways that we think about ourselves, or images that we have of ourselves and each other, and ways those contribute to a culture of sexual assault. Media. I think it's probably media is the right answer here.
It'd be great if all the women and men could know their self-worth without needing to create pain in other people's lives. But I think we have another caller.
We do, actually. Yeah. Do we have time for one more caller? No, I'm sorry. You can put the phone down. We do not have time for another caller. So whoever's got their phone to the air, you can put it down. So that's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Michael, and
Hanani,
Oshanea,
Megan.
Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's You Speaks Out. Our Environmental Prevention Strategies in the Community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email jayma@jaymashields@pacific.net. That's J-A-Y-M-A Shields, S-H-I-E-L-D-S, at pacific.net.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks. That is February 1st at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in February.